Good morning and welcome to your morning tradition here on Magnificat Radio at MagnificatMedia.com. Mike and Lisa Austin, the Austin family. Well, the leaders of the Austin family.
That's right.
The children are busy upstairs doing whatever they do on a Monday morning.
Schoolwork.
Oh, yeah, schoolwork. I forgot. Hopefully more learning, kids.
They learn hard.
Mike and Lisa Austin here on your morning tradition. We are living
our faith.
And we say living our faith. Maybe we should say living our traditional Catholic faith or doing our best to live our faith. Or sometimes we fall down, but that takes too long to say. So we just...
We're living our faith.
There you go. We hone it down to three words. We got it. All right. Good morning and welcome to your morning tradition. Throughout the day, we have, we have the Gregorian chant. We have a few prayers. We have some nice classical music. We have some liturgical music. We have a few programs and try and get some... things done.
Right.
Right.
We have a lot of ideas in the works. It just takes a little time because it's just the two of us.
But it's happening.
So please be patient.
We were at our parish picnic over the weekend, and a lot of folks had questions about what we were doing, and some had never heard. We had guests from out of town.
Yes.
Who had not heard about what, you know, we were doing here. So please spread the word. We handed out plenty of business cards and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get there. September the 28th.
Hey, by the way.
What's that?
I'm going to be sharing some of those pictures on our gallery for the first time.
Yay. Yep. Well, those might be up by now.
Well,
no.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, they might be because, yes.
Okay.
They might be.
Okay. That's the short answer. All right. Because, at our chapel, Father Dean celebrated his 25th anniversary of being a priest, and it was beautiful.
We had a special mass yesterday.
It was really nice. It was a solemn high mass.
Yes.
And I mean, literally.
We've never had that at our chapel.
Oh, come on.
Not that we've been there. Ever since we've been there, we've not had one. Now, they may have had one in the past, but not when we... We're
really?
Parishioners there. Yes.
It was beautiful. I don't
it
remember.
Was.
If we have had, I don't remember the last time it was. But maybe you're right. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You remember these things better than I do.
That's why I think it's so special.
All I know is there were so many seminarians and altar boys, etc., coming out of that sacristy. I thought it was like the circus. They just kept coming and coming and coming. And I'm thinking, where are you? Because it's a tiny little sacristy. And where are you people? How are you getting in there?
We have a small chapel.
How are you fitting in there?
Yeah.
And
they were.
But it was beautiful.
And anyway, Joseph served.
Yes, he did. And so Lisa took lots of pictures, and those will be up on our website.
In our gallery. Right.
That'll be a beautiful thing.
Oh, and before we start.
Yes. Well, we already started.
Well, before we go.
Long time ago.
Welcome
any further? To the show, Lisa.
Before we go any further.
Yes.
We need to make an announcement.
Oh, okay.
This remember when we requested people to send in birthday requests?
Yeah.
We have one.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready? We have a birthday. Now, let me just say this. Birthdays are very special. And anniversaries.
Yes.
You know, like so-and-so married 50 years or 25 years or 5 years or whatever.
Sure.
We would like to say a happy birthday to a young man in Colorado this morning. Jovan Gaydosh. Or Gaydosh? Gaydosh. Gaydosh. Jovan is 10 years old, ladies and gentlemen.
Stand up and get ready.
All right, Jovan, are you ready? Jovan, my man.
Stand up and get ready.
There, we salute you, and we give you a high five.
Yay.
Yay. Happy
and mom
birthday.
And dad want to say that they are extremely proud of you and how you're growing up and becoming a nice young man.
And so stay that way.
Stand up and get ready.
Exactly.
Stand up and get ready.
And you're ready for your day. Be good to your mom.
And happy birthday.
Say thanks, Mom, right now, Jovan. We'll wait. Okay, I trust you did that. We're trusting you, Jovan. Happy birthday. This morning, let me just tell you who our guest is going to be this morning. Her name is Rita Davidson. You may know the name. If you don't know the name, maybe you know her book. If you don't know her book, hopefully you will get to know her book. Her book is called...
It's Immodesty, Satan's Virtue.
And it's a great book, for one thing. I mean, just the title.
Mm-hmm.
That's an intriguing title.
Tell
Immodesty.
Me about it. Satan's Virtue. Right.
Ooh. And it's kind of her story, how she came to tradition, which I think we could include her story in our conversion stories.
Definitely.
we're going to ask her all about the long skirts and where she came from, how she got to where she's at. Uh-huh. But then she writes this book on immodesty and what it means to be immodest.
Right.
Because she lived that life for a while.
Well, haven't we all at some point in time?
I guess so, yeah.
I mean, we're all living in the nonsense.
Yeah.
And I don't know what else to say. But we're all living in it.
Yeah.
And we're all going through it. There was just a little remnant that, you know, according to my mother, and we're going way back.
Right.
When they told my mother and her generation to put down their rosaries and stop praying. The rosary. And so we're going that far back and maybe even farther, but that's when my mom remembers.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all kind of in this mess together.
Yeah.
And yeah, we've all had our experiences, our mistakes, but we've all repented, haven't we? We've all gone to confession.
Thank God for confession. And sometimes we keep going.
Right. That's why it's there. Because we're supposed to purify our bodies here on earth to obtain heaven.
And so it goes beyond wearing a long skirt. There are women wearing long skirts now. They're in fashion. But anyway, the book is Immodesty, Satan's Virtue. Rita Davidson. Is it Davis or Davidson? Davidson.
Davidson.
I better get that right. She's going to be on the air with us here in just a minute.
Yeah.
She is a Canadian. That doesn't mean anything. I'm just saying. She's a Canadian.
Yes, she is.
And we're going to have her via Skype in a minute. The thing is about her book, the book is great. But it's the story around the book, and then I will just say they had a devastating fire,
mm-hmm.
which destroyed all of her book and the files,
mm-hmm.
and it's the bounce back from that that is the unique story now.
Right, and it just keeps building and building. So we're going to be talking to her some more.
There are miracles tied into this story, and she'll explain them, and we'll have all that coming up for you this morning. That's going to take up a bunch of the morning, actually, this morning.
And if I may say,
please do.
We were, what should I say?
I don't know. You said, may you say? Now you can. I don't know. Maybe not.
I'm trying to think of the right words here. One of our listeners uh-huh. got in touch with us
uh-huh.
and recommended that maybe we get in touch with Rita.
Oh, okay.
So we would like to thank Gemma.
Right.
For that.
Well, we always say, you know, if you have a story or if you know someone or a subject matter that maybe we should tackle, that is, you know, give us a shout, and we'll do what we can.
Mm-hmm.
And so away we go. That's all I really think. Yeah, because we have to get a hold of her. We're a little bit on a time schedule here. But you know what I would like to bring to your attention, Lisa?
What?
A little question.
What?
How can you know where you're going?
If you don't know where you've been.
We have made history.
Any day in history.
A day that will go down in history.
History of this day.
This day in history.
This day in history.
Today is the 28th of September. It's the 271st day of the year, and there are 94 of these babies left. 94 days left, and that's
aww.
It. Was on the September the 28th in the year 235, Bishop of Rome, Pontianus, stepped down.
And on this day in 935, St. Wenceslaus is murdered by his brother.
What?
Bolaslas?
Well, if he's Wenceslaus, then he's Boleslaus.
Boleslaus, the first of Bohemia.
It's like a bowl of slaw.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Is that the good King Wenceslaus looked down
I think
on
so.
The Feast of Stephen? Which
yes.
we'll be singing here in very shortly. Well, 1066, this is that famous year. William the Conqueror invaded England, landing at Pevensey Bay in Sussex.
On this day in 1362, here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
Guillaume de
Guillaume.
Okay.
I'm the French guy here. So
I don't know why you gave this to me then.
Oh, sorry. Guillaume de Grimard.
He was elected as Pope Urban V.
Which is much easier to say, especially if you're not French. Guillaume. We met a French guy over the weekend.
We did.
His name is Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Louis. Oh, Bouchard, I think, is something like that.
Oh, nice.
Bouchon. Bruchon. That's what it is. Louis Bruchon. Hello, Louis. He doesn't speak English, so he has no idea. This day in 1781, 9,000 American forces, 7,000 French forces begin the siege of Yorktown.
On this day in 1785, Napoleon Bonaparte graduates from the military academy in Paris, 42nd in the class of 51.
Well, isn't that nice? or something. 1787, Congress sent the Constitution to the state legislatures for their approval.
And on September 28th, 1850, the U.S. Navy abolishes flogging as punishment.
There you go.
Thank heavens for that.
You couldn't tie up a sailor and whip them anymore.
Wow.
Imagine that.
No, I can't.
It was 1850.
1850.
So all the way up till then, they could.
They could still flog you.
All right. Well, there you go. That is where we are in history this morning. Mike and Lisa Austin here. You right there. Let's go get another cup of Abbey Roast and get set for a darn fine time. We're going to get in touch with Rita Davidson in Canada via the Skype connection. And we will talk about her book, Immodesty, Satan's Virtue. Please check our website, the gallery, as we post the pictures of Father Dean's 25th anniversary and the parish picnic. It was great. We had a bluegrass band and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It was great stuff.
It was great stuff. Right, we might even feature some of that.
Oh, that's right. We got the CD of that bluegrass band.
That's right.
Maybe we can do that coming up. All right. Rita's on the way, and we're going to talk about her book and the miracles around the reissuing of it and the fire, all of that. Mike and Lisa Austin at Magnificat Radio, MagnificatMedia.com, where we are
living our faith.
You can't not smile when you hear bluegrass music. Hello and welcome back to your morning tradition. Mike and Lisa Austin here at Magnificat Radio. Yes, it is Magnificat Radio, MagnificatMedia.com. We are so far from Gregorian chant right now. The monks aren't doing this one.
No.
But this is the group. These are the young men that we had at Father Dean's. This is our parish picnic and Father Dean's 25th. And they are...
called the Misty Mountain Boys.
The Misty Mountain Boys. And they are good traditional Catholics. Their family, huge family.
Yeah.
And they came, and they attend Mass at the seminary, actually.
Right.
And apparently everybody knew about them but us.
Yeah, we didn't.
I didn't know, and they started setting up microphones. I'm going, hey, we're going to jam. All right.
I know. It makes you want to go, yeehaw!
You know, Misty Mountain. That is, see, that in polka music, it is happy music.
Yeah. Although well, we thought find... about that, having a folksy kind of hour. We've talked about that.
Right. Because the Catholic folk music of each culture, I mean, there is Polish music, there is Irish music, there is, you know, all of that.
Right.
And bluegrass music does come a lot from Ireland. We can talk to Dr. Child about that. TheMistyMountainBoys.com is their website. All right, on to our guest today. Her name is Rita Davidson. Her book, Immodesty, Satan's Virtue. And we're going to get into their house fire and all of that, but I wanted to start off. Please welcome Rita Davidson via Skype from Canada to your morning tradition. Rita, before we get anything going here, I want to know about your journey into modesty, from immodesty, and how you got going on all of this subject matter.
Initially, I had a friend, probably like 1997, I had a pen pal in California, and she always wore skirts. It was just, that was just inspired me so much, and I did not understand why. I grew up in a nominal Catholic household. The faith was pretty empty for us. You know, it was something that we just did on Sundays, and my dad used to fall asleep in the back pews during Mass and that kind of thing. So I like was nothing much. So I became a single mom when I was 18, and you know, God brings good from bad, right?
Right.
So, but I became a single mom then. So you know, slowly, I was away from the church for probably 15 years. Mm. So when my oldest at that time turned, what was it, three, when my oldest went, we started homeschooling my oldest. So that would have been 89 maybe. And then when she went to her first confession is when I went back to the faith.
Ah.
That's when I went back to the faith. So that was like 15 late years later. So homeschooling is what brought me back to the church. And that was just the very beginning. So this friend that I met, she was, we were pen pals for about 10 years. And then we finally got to meet. She came up from California. I came down from Canada. And we met in New York. And it just, I asked her a million questions. You know, how could you be wearing skirts all the time? And, you know, how do you do this? And I just, it's, I don't know why, but it just enthralled me. I love the idea. Mm-hmm. So I dig, asked her a million questions. And then I can't remember exactly the day, but I just started wearing skirts, just finding skirts, started sewing skirts. She was a sewer as well. And so once I started wearing them, and I think just getting, it really switches your mindset when you start wearing skirts.
There's just a
switch that goes that you can't really know about it until you do it. And, you know, people, when you say that to them, if they've not done it, they're just like, yeah, right, you know, like, give me a break. But it really does. So there was just a switch in my spiritual life that I just felt closer to God for some reason. And I thought, wow, this is just so amazing. So it just fired me up. I thought we had a friend that was a religious at the time. And so he told me one day, you should really write a book about this. And I thought, really? Like, I don't have any background in writing. I'm not a journalist. I'm, you know, nothing like that. I've done school, but anyway, so once I set about to start writing the book, and you know, it's funny that you asked this because a lot of this stuff I've forgotten. once I started writing the book, stuff just started coming to me, like from nowhere. So books, and people would send stuff in the mail, old documents, and it just started like literally coming. It was almost like I wasn't even writing it. It became so easy. And so I wrote the book. I began on an Ash Wednesday, and I sat down and wrote it for 40 days, and it was done by Easter. Oh. Now, I don't say that every writer can do that, because I'm struggling right now to get it back out. But really, it was done in 40 days. I had all my quotes and my edits and the whole layout. It took another 2 years to edit it, you know, 7 different times and clean it up and, you know, just whatever. It's just the way it goes with writing. And so I think we finally got it in print in 2001. And it's still, by that time, I didn't have professional editors and I wasn't a professional writer. The first kinds of little negative comments I got were, you know, there's a lot of grammar mistakes and it's really, you know, immature. And I thought, well, but then I started getting a flood of letters saying, you know, I love this book. This like changed my life and all kinds of stuff. So I knew, you know, it had its negatives, but you know, it was making a big difference with a lot of people. So I started a support group for that. And used to counsel families by phone and all kinds of stuff for years and on the support group. The support group archives are still on Yahoo. I'm trying to figure out how to get them down from there. But anyway, so that's where it started. We republished it again in 2003 because we ran out of the first printing. And it's never been changed. So it's just stayed the way it is. And then it ran out of print about 2012. And I began editing it then. Now, if you go back to your original question, what has happened since then? When the manuscript was not yet in print, so it was still sitting on my computer, we came home and there was a sulfur smell as soon as we opened the door all through the house. And I immediately went to my computer and found out that the computer had been hit. I think it was the computer and the stove had been hit. And so when I went, when my computer guy recovered the hard drive, he got me the file of the book. But when I opened up the book, it was all scrambled. It almost looked Romanian or something.
Oh, wow.
And it just unreadable. But right in the front of the book, the original manuscript, I had started it with the Hail Mary prayer. And that prayer was not scrambled. So it was readable.
Mm. Amazing. And so the Hail Mary was the only part of the book, the prayer, that wasn't scrambled.
Well, it gave me chills at the time, but at the same time, I thought, oh my goodness, you know, what must I be up against? this is
exactly
cute, right. And so, you know, we had little stories like that. I mean, my computer guy, I've known him for years, and he was able to get it unscrambled. So we were able to salvage the manuscript, whatever things that he did with that. You know, a couple years later, maybe, I could have the timeline wrong, but we were saying the rosary in the same house. We were saying the rosary. And it was during the day, but it was on the feast of St. Pius X. And we were sitting around. We always had our altar up on top of like our television set, just because I think they're very related. our TV set was in this cupboard that had doors. And anyway, so we're saying the rosary, and it's just so significant in my mind. But as we're saying the rosary, a snake comes out from underneath the TV station, like where the altar was, just came out like this big black snake. And we were just like, you're kidding me.
Wait, now, had you was there a snake problem before? Had you ever seen snakes in the yard? I mean,
we lived in the country. Okay. So, I mean, really, you know, for all the skeptics, they could say, well, you know, like it came up, whatever. Like we did live in the country. It was pretty rough country, but really this was still inside the house and he could have crawled out from the couch. Why the altar? Mm-hmm. And that's the thing I think that a lot of people miss. You know, when they say, I wish God could be so good to me like that and give me all these miracles, I'm thinking it's because you haven't looked for them. You haven't looked to see, you know, because why didn't he come out of the couch? Why didn't he come out of the bedroom?
Right.
He came from the altar of the whole, you know, of the whole house. That's where he came out. So,
yeah,
anyways,
I think we're surrounded by miracles all the time, and especially at the Holy Mass. I mean, the sacrifice of the Mass, we see a miracle all the time. But we see miracles and we don't see them. Like you said, we're not looking for it. So,
Yeah. And I think all of us even have a little bit of skeptic in us. You know, even we've been fighting the faith, you know, for so long, going upstream for so long. And a lot of us become skeptics without realizing it. You know, it becomes just something we just go through the motions because we lose our oomph. We lose whatever it is that, you know, that thing that makes our faith just so real that it's not something you just do on Sundays and at rosary time and we're not going through the motions. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the biggest thing that is missing from the church as a whole today is it's everyone's just doing it on the outside. They're not living it. Really.
Agreed.
And that's why as soon as they hit up against something, you know, something bad happens. Their faith, that's the first thing that goes, you know, they're questioning God. Why would he do this?
Right, exactly.
So, and we're talking with Rita Davidson via Skype in Canada about her book, Immodesty, Satan's Virtue, the story behind the book. And so the timeline is now your computer was struck. All the files, you finally got them recovered, unscrambled.
Mm-hmm.
We have this the snake out from underneath the altar, which is that's out there. That's something, though, right? So you're profoundly affected. How do we get to the point where your book is being reconfigured? How do we get to that point?
Wow, that's a lot of years. You know, really, 16-some years since the book has come out. You know, since then, we lost three of our older children from the faith, basically from Modesty. We had three of our younger boys diagnosed with autism. 2012, the book went out of print. So I began working on it again. On my Facebook page, I posted a picture of me sitting in the backyard with the manuscript and saying that I've finally done the first editing because I was going to reprint it, done the first editing, and the I could hear thunder in the distance. And then 9 days later, so not eight again, not seven, not 16, but 9 days later, the length of a novena, we woke up at 8 a.m. to our house being on fire. And so it was 8 o'clock in the morning. We were still in bed. I smelled this faint little bit of smoke. It was middle of the summer, really, really hot. Faint little bit of smoke coming through the window. And I nudged my husband. And I said, I think the fan is smoking. And I was ready to go back to bed. He sat up, bolt upright. You have to thank God for men, right? For being so clear.
Yes.
He sat bolt upright and he's like, there's a fire. And he just jumped out of bed and said, there's a fire. And I was like, what? So I got out of bed, slow that I am in the morning. And I'm thinking, as soon as we stood up, there was smoke above our heads. So it was just above our heads.
Oh.
And so I'm making my way out of the room. Meanwhile, my husband is yelling. This is all simultaneously happening. I'm thinking, I'm going to go find the source of this smoke. That's all I'm thinking. Is this a toaster? Is this, you know, not really knowing, right? So I'm just moseying downstairs. My husband is yelling. I can hear him at our older boys saying, get down, get on the floor, put your clothes on, get out. Like, he's being so clear. And I'm just like, I'm going to find out where smoke is coming from. So I try to go down the stairs and it's very foggy. I can't really see in front of me, but again, it's white. So I'm trying to go down the stairs and I can't understand why I can't breathe. Again, I'm half asleep. I'm not thinking straight. So I turn around and I come back up, and something in me finally woke up, I guess. So I screamed, "Somebody get the baby." And then I turned around, took a deep breath, and ran down the stairs. Made it on the veranda. I remember sputtering, calling 911, like coughing and sputtering. And my husband came out with our boys just minutes later, like minutes. We were all out probably in under 2 minutes. We called 911. At this point, didn't really understand what we were looking at. I mean, at this point, we were like shocked, not even stunned or panicked yet, because everything was just sinking in. We had no idea really what we're dealing with. And so we had a great big general store. So it was almost like a house divided in two. So there's a great big general store on this side and the house. But anyway, so we're stepping out away from the house now. And then so we look up and to the side. Well, which, if we're coming out of the house this way, so it'll be on this side. Now we can see the two upper windows on that side of the house chugging black, black soot.
Oh, like, my goodness.
It was so thick. So by this time, you could feel the heat off the whole house. So we started backing up. We put the phone down on the mailbox, which was right beside our house, and we started backing up. We eventually made it across the road. Just kept backing up, thinking that they're going to be here any minute. They're going to be here any minute. They'll stop this, you know?
Right.
So you're sort of like holding out hope. By this time, the windows just started popping. And as soon as the window started popping, I thought, oh my gosh, it's gone. Like, that's it.
Right.
Because it was just so violent, like the amount of smoke coming out. Once that got air, I thought, there's nothing left.
Right. Rita, hang on just a sec, because we're up against the clock and we're going to take a little break here. Magnificat Radio, this is your morning tradition. Magnificat Radio, MagnificatMedia.com, talking with Rita Davidson, author of Immodesty, Satan's Virtue. It's been out. But then it went away because of this devastating fire. We're going to talk more about the fire and the rise from the ashes and more with Rita in just a minute. Mike and Lisa Austin, your morning tradition, Magnificat Radio, where we are
living our faith.
Faith.